This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him into a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And now when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Today I want to preach on this subject, unexpected. Unexpected. If you'll preach with me, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Have you ever got something for Christmas that was a total surprise? Something that just took you by surprise, where you were like, I can't believe I got this. Anybody? Anybody? I remember mine was my first BMX bicycle with Tough Wheel mags. It was the most awesome bike ever. I remember it had red Tough Wheel mags, and it had the tires, and it had the motocross pads on it. It was just so awesome. The BMX pads, rather. I thought that I was the king of the world. It was negative 32 degrees outside, and I was going outside to ride my bike. I was so excited. It was an amazing, unexpected gift. I had talked about it. I had wanted it, but I knew my parents could not afford it. So I didn't expect it. I knew that it was just something that I would love to have. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, have you ever got something for Christmas and you were like, I cannot believe I got that. I've had a few of those too. Anybody other than me hate getting undergarments for Christmas? Anybody? Socks and all that stuff? Can't stand it. Hey, well, let me rephrase. I used to not like it, but now I need socks. I need socks. Sister Lawson, I need socks. So I was looking at an online forum, and the forum was titled, Did Anyone Get Something for Christmas They Didn't Expect? The best one someone got was a ticket to Hawaii. I'm going to tell you, I would do cartwheels. You want me to go to Hawaii? I will go to Hawaii. I will go. I will surf. I will go. But now on the other end of the spectrum, someone received a toothbrush, toothpaste, and some breath mints for Christmas. Well, are you trying to tell me something? I did not expect that for Christmas. The person probably needed these items, but that's not what they wanted. Amen. There are some things that happened on that first Christmas that were not expected, but were rather unexpected. One, this baby was not expected. They did not expect, Mary was not expecting to be pregnant. Amen. She's like, how in the world did this happen? The pregnancy itself, we see God doing something that would be unexpected. Yes, it was foretold in the book of Isaiah. But the idea of God becoming human, lowering himself to become flesh and blood like us, being God and human at the same time, that makes no sense. It's unexpected. Amen. emptying himself to become like one of us sounds so undignified, and it goes against who he is, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, willing to become a little helpless baby. Now think about that. We don't have any helpless babies. We got a little terror over here to the left, my left, but we don't have any helpless babies here today. But think about that. Jesus came back, and he was a little baby, helpless. It doesn't make any sense. Do you know there's a lot of religions out there that get tripped up on that very topic right there, that the creator of the universe would come back as a baby, that he would come back in such a vulnerable state. Amen. The holy and omniscient one was willing to take on flesh and blood and become subject to frailties. Just like, I'm going to tell you, he stubbed his toe just like we do. I'm sure of it. He did all the things that we do because he was 100% God and 100% human. It's amazing to me that God cared so much about me that he would come back. See, it didn't stop at the manger. It didn't stop there, and I'll go on. We'll come back to that. God does things that are unexpected. Not only is this true in that God was willing to become just like one of us, but it's also true in the way he brought it about. Mary becoming pregnant by the Holy Ghost would be hard to accept. It doesn't sound right, but that's exactly how it happens. God does things that we don't understand. Amen. Amen. How many of us have been subject to that where we just look up to heaven and, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm just going to trust you. Anybody other than me? There's times that I've got questions. There's times where I'm like, God, what are you doing? He does that. But we see that this unconventional pregnancy caused commotion. Joseph was no doubt a hot mess. How are you pregnant? Yeah, I know, right? How? And the angel of the Lord had to come to him and speak to him. I just wonder how many times the Lord tries to speak to us and we won't listen because we've already got preconceived ideas. I wonder how many times that we think we know a thing and God's trying to do something else and we won't listen. Thank God that Joseph listened that day. Amen. He's dealing with the fact that his fiance is pregnant and it's not his. His heart's torn. But when the angel of the Lord speaks to him, he puts her away privately. He hides that thing. I called Mary a thing. That was not okay. He hides Mary. He doesn't want her to be a public example. He does not want her to be humiliated. He trusts God. You know, sometimes God will put us in situations where we just got to trust him. Sometimes he will put it, look, I promise you, if y'all only knew our conversation for this weekend, sometimes he'll put you in places where you just got to trust him. And you don't understand the answer. You don't see the answer. Everything points to something different. But he has the answer the whole time, and it's right in the middle of your mess. The Messiah was in a mess, and he still made a miracle out of it. We don't. His ways are above our ways. Amen. Then we think of Mary. No doubt she's shaken by the angel's unexpected announcement. Mary asked the question, how? How is this going to happen? And the angel tells her. And then God showed Mary that he was the God of the unexpected by causing her cousin Elizabeth, who was beyond childbearing years. She was considered barren, and then she becomes pregnant as well. Let me tell somebody something. How many of us have ever seen a miracle? Come on. Sometimes God will let you see a miracle to remind you that your miracle is still possible. Sometimes he'll let you see something going on to remind you that he's still in control, that he's still alive, that he's still on the throne, and that his ways are above your ways. I've been so blessed in my life. See, going back to our conversation this weekend, I've just got some crazy faith because of what I've seen God do. Hunter, I've seen God do some crazy things. I seen a baby get ran over by a car about the size of your car. He was that feller's size. And the car tire went right over the top of him. And I remember Mama come screaming into the church, JoJo's been ran over. And we had just came out of a faith service. And we all ran out there. And Pastor went out there and he grabbed little Joe up. And he began to pray and he said, Jesus, there's nothing going to be wrong with this baby. There's nothing going to be wrong with this baby. God, you have this under control. Now, we weren't a bunch of crazies, y'all. We took that baby onto the hospital. We had that baby checked out. We walked into the emergency room. We told the ER doctors what happened, and immediately they rushed him out. They came back an hour later, and the doctor had his head hung low, and Mama was expecting the worst. And Mama ran up, please just tell me what's going on. And he said, I can't figure it out. He said, we've done every scan that we know to do, and the only thing we can find wrong with this baby is it's got a dirty diaper. Can I tell you, that's the type of God I serve. That's the God I serve. Now, fast forward. We've had a personal acquaintance come to the church, diagnosed with leukemia. They were going to do the bone marrow thing the next week. But she came to church on Sunday and said, I know if there's going to be a church that's going to pray, you guys are going to pray. And so we prayed. She went to the appointment. They did the testing. The doctor came out, said, we need to take his test again. Did it again. Went out. Came back a third time. Took the test again, came back out. The fourth time she came in, she was crying. She said, I don't understand it, but we can't even tell you ever had cancer. It's like you've never had it. Can I tell you? That's the way God works. He will put things in your path to remind you that he's still God.
That's right. Yes, he will.
But what about my situation, Brother Lawson? That's why he puts them in your path. Sometimes he allows you to see somebody else's miracle to remind you that he's still in the miracle-making business. And you, exactly. Just because it hasn't arrived yet doesn't mean it's not coming. He allowed Elizabeth, who was beyond, she was, I'll be real careful how I word this. She was beyond childbearing. I'll just go back to my notes. Her body wasn't able to do that no more. She was barren until God stepped in because God needed her. He needed her to show Mary that everything was going to be all right. Lord, you need to use me in a miracle, not per se that miracle, but a miracle. Go ahead and use me, God. If you see good things happening around you, but you haven't seen yours yet, just be reminded that that's how God sometimes works. He'll allow a miracle to happen to somebody else to remind you that he's still doing what he said he's going to do, that he's still going to move in your situation. God in heaven. Sometimes when God is revealing something to us, it may be impossible to us. He'll show us an example of what's going to come to pass. And I love it. I loved it, you know. Oh, boy, this just dropped in my head. Sister Lawson, I love you. Forgive me. Sister Lawson and Brother Hunter wrecked their cars about the same time. Sister Lawson ain't even got her car back. Her car's in shambles right now. Hunter done got a new car. It's just a reminder that everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be okay. So we got to learn to rejoice with those that are rejoicing and weep with those that are weeping and understand that when it's my turn, it'll be my turn. And we got to understand that nothing's impossible for God. I'm going to move on. We see Mary accepting what the angel told her, even though she didn't understand it. Joseph accepted what the angel said and did what he asked of him, even though he didn't understand all of what's going on. And that's exactly how we need to be. Sometimes we just need to realize that God's in control and I'm not. And that if I will just listen and obey. Let me say that last part again. Listen and obey. Then God can move in our situation. We got to quit trying to figure it out on our own. If Joseph would have tried to figure it out on his own, we'd have had a problem. But because he trusted God, It's not easy to trust God sometimes, amen? Sometimes it's hard because we don't see the end of the story, but we have to understand that he will work it out for our good. How many of us have got ourselves in a sticky situation, an unpleasant situation, a stinky situation? That's where Jesus, Joseph, and Mary found themselves. When we look at the birthplace, where look, they're traveling, Mary's all big and pregnant, Joseph's walking along beside her, and they're out looking for a place to stay. I'm going to tell you, anybody ever had trouble finding a place to stay at some point in your life? Yeah? That's an uncomfortable place to be in. And they knocked on that door just sure that they were going to be able to get in the inn. And the innkeeper's like, I ain't got nothing for you, but we got a cave over here where we keep the animals. You can sleep there. Cost you a dollar. And they took it. Now think about this. The King of Glory, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords being born in an animal trough. A place where they feed animals. A place where they keep animals. You've got the smell of camels and goats and pigs and feces and all these things. And if it was in a cave, it was dark and most likely damp. It was probably not the greatest of places to be. And yet, Jesus showed up. Let me tell you something. No matter where you're at today, Jesus can show up. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. When Jesus found me, I was crying and I did not know what to do. And he met me right there. He met me right there. I could go around this congregation and we could talk about exactly where Jesus met us. And usually, almost 100% of the time, it's never on the mountaintop. It's never in the ballroom. It's never in a comfortable place. It's always in a comfortable place or uncomfortable place. Jesus is not afraid of that. He was literally born into that. Amen. Why would this be allowed? Was this a test? Was this an opportunity for Joseph and Mary to trust that everything would be okay despite their atmosphere and where they're at? I'm sure they were tempted to worry about, is this going to be okay? I would be worried. If my wife was getting ready to give birth and we were in a barn, in a manger, in a cave, I would be worried. Was it the ideal situation? No. Was it problematic? Possibly. Was it a situation worth worrying and stressing about? It wasn't. Can I tell you, let me pump the brakes right here. Sometimes we stress about things that we ought not stress about. Let me ask you a question. Does you stressing about it make it better? Not ever. When you're like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. The only thing you do is get swollen eyes and empty Kleenex boxes. Somebody can identify with that right now. That's all you're accomplishing. But when you know, oh, I love this scripture. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So as long as I'm walking righteously, my steps are ordered. So I can walk through this place and everything's going to be all right. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. My steps are ordered of God. And so if they're ordered of God, everything is going to be all right. My, I feel like preaching just a little bit. So it is for us. When we find ourselves in unexpected situations, we have choices to make. We can do one of three things. But Miguel heard about this and he said, well, what happens if I do all three? Got three things we can do, Sister Liz. First one, it's one of the P's. We can panic. Ah! We can cry, we can scream, we can be Chicken Little. The sky is falling, everything's ruined, the world is going to end. We can panic. Or we can pout. Anybody ever pout whenever things go sideways? Don't you lie to me. Get a V big old lip out there. Because nothing's going your way. We can get that way whenever things get sideways and we don't understand.
This world's against me and Jesus don't like me or I wouldn't be going through this.
No. But we can do the third P. And this is the one I recommend. Is press on. Pouting isn't going to fix it. Panicking isn't going to fix it. But my God, when you learn how to press on. When you learn how to put one foot in front, look, I know that maybe 2024 was a bad year for you. Keep walking because 2025 is right around the corner. You keep moving. Don't stay caught up in the mully grubs. Just keep walking because it's going to change. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's going to change. It's going to change. You see, Jesus didn't stay in the manger. He didn't stay in the cave. He ended up in the tabernacle teaching the elders. He didn't stay there. Let me tell you today, you don't have to stay in your situation. You can move on. You can move on. Look at your neighbor and tell him to move on. Move on. Maybe there's another reason God may have had and allowing the birth to happen this way. Maybe it's just to show that Jesus had humble beginnings. How many of us have ever felt less than? This guy did. I didn't think I was worth killing. But that's why Jesus could use me, because it isn't about me. What we got to understand, did Jesus deserve to be born in a castle with the finest stuff and plenty of people waiting on Joseph and Mary and him? Absolutely. But his life was not to be about that. Jesus wasn't rich. Jesus did not walk around in a velvet or scarlet robe. He didn't walk around in Air Jesus 3.0s. I'm going to tell you, he didn't have the 1999 BC chariot with all the gadgets on it. The Bible says that he didn't have a place to lay his head. He probably had very little things. Can I tell you what? You're not called to the kingdom to be rich. We're not. When we step into the church, it's not a guarantee that we're going to be wearing the latest styles and driving the newest cars. Maybe sometimes Jesus blesses us that way, and that's great when he does. But if he doesn't, that's not the reason we're here.
That's right.
Look, I know that goes against about 80% of what a lot of people believe, but we're here to be in the kingdom and do what Jesus tells us to do. During his ministry, he told someone he didn't have a place to lay his head. God allowed the unexpected to happen, and the creator of the universe had humble beginnings followed by a humbled life. And the reason why he did this is he wanted to change people's expectations. We expect to be blessed. How many of us deserve to be blessed? Exactly. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But God gives us what we need. He didn't say he would give us all our wants, but he said he would give us our needs. Amen. We got to remember that. Do we have, as Christians, have expectations? Do we expect to be treated better? Be honest with yourself. I had to have a come to Jesus meeting with myself. Sometimes we think that there's some things that we shouldn't have to go through. Let me remind you of this, and this just hit me. The same plagues that the Egyptians went through, Hebrews are right there. They were right in the middle of it. Well, we got to understand that it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Understand that, but we have faith in knowing that God will bring us through. Clap your hands to the Lord. My, my, my. How many of us have been mistreated since we've been Christians? Had to suffer some things, amen. Does this mean that God doesn't like us? No. There's not something wrong with God. There's something wrong with our expectations. Our expectations should not be that we get whatever we want from God because we're his children, but instead we should be like Jesus, who, even though he was royalty, came to serve and not to be served. Jesus worried about ministry. He wanted to serve others. He was the King of glory, and he came to serve others. He hung out with people that nobody else wanted to hang out with. He hung out with tax collectors, bankers, all them type people. He hung out with people that were unclean by society standards. He hung out with lepers. He went to leper colonies when nobody else would. Why? Because he was called to minister. We have to change our expectations. See, that's what this birth was all about. See, we love the fanfare of Jesus. We love the manger scene. But the manger scene was made so that he could go through life, be tempted as we are, yet without sin, and become the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus often did not do what others expected him to do, but he always did what was required, and that's how we need to be. We're called to do things that people would not expect us to do. People wouldn't expect us to turn the other cheek. They wouldn't expect us to give when we ourselves are in need. Amen. They wouldn't expect us to serve others whenever we have things that need to be done. But if we're going to be followers of Jesus, then we need to do the unexpected. And doing the unexpected gets attention. Amen. And it was amazing to me. Let me tell you something else that was unexpected. Why is it that shepherds were the first ones to be let known? Why not the religious leaders? Why not the current rabbi? Why not all those guys that were up in the religious time? Why the shepherds? Let me tell you why. Because it Jesus and the Lord, Jesus being Lord, being who he is, likes to do things that boggle our mind. He didn't want to do things the regular way. Religious leaders should have been at the top of the list, and shepherds should have been at the bottom. But so the shepherds would not have been a high part of society. And that's probably why the townspeople were amazed that they were the ones that come back and said, come see the Messiah. Because that's the way Jesus works. Can I tell you, it's not about what your last name is. It's about who your king is. It's not about where you came from and your pedigree and whatever school you went to. It's not about that. How much do you love Jesus, and how much are you willing to be a servant? We get so caught up in titles and this and that. Look, I don't care about it. I really don't care about titles. I really don't. What I care about is how you treat people. You know, shepherds, they kept sheep, right? They're probably stinky, smelly, probably dirty, but they love their sheep. And if they would care that much for sheep, how much more are they going to care about people? You know, Jesus is going to use the people that care about people, not the people that are just looking for, I did that. That was me. Look at me. I've got the wave down and everything. Yes, look at me. He's not looking for that. He's just looking for real people that serve a real God, that have real compassion on people who have real hurt. And that's what he saw in the shepherds. God works through the people that you might least expect. Do you know, and this is a testimony I have, I've seen the Lord work through children. 2 years ago, the doctor gave me a report. They did blood work, and they were sending me to an oncologist to see if I had some type of blood cancer. And I don't know who did it, but somebody set a chair right in the middle of the congregation and said, we want the children to come pray. Not one adult was there. It was just children. And they come up and they put their hands on me and they prayed. When I went to the doctor, don't you know that they could not even find anything that they literally said, we don't know what they saw in your test results, but we don't see anything. Do I think I had cancer at one point? I do. And I believe that when those children prayed, that God took care of it. Why do I think that? Because God wanted to show us that he can use anybody. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. The Lord sees us in a different way. Amen. It's interesting. We're going to look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and I'll summarize it for you. There's a man laying at the gate called Beautiful. He'd been begging there for years. Today was like any other day. He was out there. Man, I wish there was some change in here. That would be really cool. He's out there shaking his little can, just begging for money. Now, he couldn't walk, so this is how he made his money. He laid by the gate called Beautiful, just shaking his can, hoping somebody would have pity on him. Somebody have a little bit of mercy and throw a couple coins in there. Then the men of God walk up. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Arise and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Did you know that sometimes you can be asking for something and God brings something else that's greater because he's unexpected like that? Sometimes that you'll come to God with a need that you think needs to be met right then, and his need that he thought needed met right then was just a little bit of change, but the Lord said, I'm getting ready to change your life. You ain't never going to have to beg again. This is where this ends, because I'm an unexpected God. And in that day, he began to walk again, and never again would he have to beg to make it, because God is an unexpected God. It's interesting that he was placed at a gate called Beautiful, because most beggars are anything but beautiful. And yet that's where he was found. And unexpectedly, our God steps in and does. Look, I'm going to tell you, God doesn't make mistakes. Friend, you're not a mistake. I remind you, you may have made some mistakes. Anybody made mistakes? Anybody made big mistakes? But God doesn't see it that way. Sure, you've made some mistakes, but even in that, God still loves us so much. I think about, and you can stand with me, one of my favorite stories to tell, and I don't mean to talk about myself, but that's who I know the most about. Matthew, my son, came home. He went to a youth rally. And he borrowed my car. He was 16 fresh. He had drove to Lexington to a youth rally. And he was coming home. And I guess he was getting tired, or he just wanted to be home. And he started speeding. Well, we're waiting up on him like good parents do. He's in my car. We get a call. It's a weird looking number to my wife's phone. My wife answered, hello? Is this Christina Lawson? Yes, this is she. This is Officer so-and-so. Immediately her heart sank. Your son has something he wants to say to you. Both my daughters were there with us. They're older than he is. He got on the phone. Mom, I was speeding. Officer said, Ethan, tell your mom how fast you were going. Mom, I was doing 115 and a 65. Ethan, put the officer back on the phone. Ma'am, I'm here. You're on speaker. Sir, I can assure you this will be dealt with when he gets home. The officer thanked her. They hung up. And as any sisters would, both of the sisters went like this.
Oh, he's gonna get it when he gets home.
And so it took a little while for him to get home. I don't know if he was doing the speed limit because he was scared of the cop or me, but he was scared. Finally, he walked in, his head hung down. Girls anxiously awaiting to hear what's going to happen next. I motioned him over to the love seat where I'm sitting. I said, sit down and talk with me. He sat down. Before I could say anything, Dad, I'm so sorry. I was just trying to get home. Didn't realize I was going that fast. I said, did you learn anything? Yeah, Dad. I shouldn't go that fast. I should just take my time and get home. Okay. You going to do it again? No, I promise, Dad, I'll never do it again. Let me say a disclaimer here. He lied on that one. But I said, okay, go on to bed. And the look of shock and horror on my daughter's faces. They both looked at me, and they were just like, why is he not getting in trouble? I knew he was the favorite. And I reminded them, I said, guys, I said, do you remember when you did this and you did this? I said, what was my reaction? Oh. See, we think God is up in heaven waiting with a huge hammer, waiting for us to mess up so he can snuff us out. But no, it's not like that at all. He's just wanting us to come home. He loves us so much. You think you love your kids and your grandkids? It pales in comparison to how Jesus loves us. Today, I want to remind us that nothing unexpectedly happens in our lives that God doesn't know about. And sometimes in that unexpectedly, he's looking to make a miracle. And that miracle could be you today. You see, the reason that he came in the fashion he did and was born was so that he could become the ultimate sacrifice to where our sins would be atoned forever. He loves us. He loved us so much that that's what he did for us. You know, I kind of feel like they did in the book of Acts when they realized that they had some stuff wrong and they wanted to fix it. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent. God, I'm sorry. I messed up. Just the same way Ethan did. I'm sorry, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. All you have to do is come clean with the Lord. And he is faithful to forgive. And then the Bible says that they were baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. And they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, Sister Olivia, I was terrified of the Holy Ghost. I was not raised this way. But the Bible said it was for you and your children and all those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I had tried living a good life before then and never could. But after I got the Holy Ghost, everything changed. And the things that were so hard before were now easy because of the power of the Holy Ghost inside of me. You see, if we've come today and we have that guilt of what we used to be, we can lay it at this altar, and he's faithful to forgive us. That's what repentance is. With every head bowed and every eye closed,